I might. I had to get their calls and emails.
I'm here.
There he is.
All right, sir. Well, please kick us off.
Can you hear me?
You can, yes,
yes,
sir.
Yes.
That's the most important. So, is it 5 o'clock yet there?
It is.
Are you in a different time zone? Where are you? It's 5 o'clock.
All right. Where it's 5 o'clock where I'm at, so... Hey, the time is 5 o'clock, and I'd like to call to order the May 13th, 2021 meeting of the Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Advisory Board and confirm that a quorum is present. So the regular members that are present are, I saw Melanie Buller, she signed in. I saw Matt, Bart Kelly, Sean Nant, and we have Leslie. Is that correct?
All of you. Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. So at this time, do we have any public comments? I didn't hear of any requests beforehand to speak.
No, no, sir. No comments today. Public comments.
Okay. All right. So we'll just run right into the, we'll move on to our consent item. Item 21-0397. The minutes of the Park and Recreation and Open Space Advisory Board meeting of April 8, 2021. Do I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Who was that?
Leslie.
And was that Melanie that motioned? I mean, Melanie that, okay.
That's correct.
Awesome. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Perfect. So now we'll move on to our report, item 21-0389. And that will be update on 2021 McKinney board and commission member appointment. And so this time,
there's no PowerPoint.
I have it up.
Okay. My name is Joshua Stevenson. I'm the Deputy City Secretary for the city. I'm just here to just give a general update, as well as highlighting specific dates on the boards and commissions appointment process. So to start off, the appointments this year will be taking place on August 24th. That's when the council will go through. In the text file in your packets, show the members who must reapply for to get considered. But just as a note, the council has the discretion to replace or appoint anyone that they see fit, whether that they are up for reappointment or not. But so just in general, it is an annual process. Any citizen can apply. The last date for that we are accepting applications will be June 18th. Board members will receive an update to the email that we have on file for them, just so that we do not have members who create a new account to then apply. An email will go to the account that we have on file, so just updating that application and then resubmitting that. Candidates will have a chance to interview if they choose to. The dates have not been set. They will be taking place late July, early August. Once we have that schedule set, we will send out an email to the members and then anyone who has applied. The city is promoting the boards and commissions process through our social media, through the website, the flyers, and then the Chamber of Commerce. We do not have a date set for the meeting we do with the Commerce, but over from last year, we did see a significant uptick in applications after that. So we do thank the Chamber of Commerce for that. Lastly, in the text file, there is links to information relevant to boards and commissions, the where you can apply, as well as the Texas Open Meetings Act, Public Information Act, and then the ethics policy for boards and commissions and council. Other than that, I will stand for any questions if you all have any.
Is the alternates reapply as an alternate or a full?
You will apply just to get on a board. It's up to the council who they design, who they choose to be an alternate.
Okay.
Any other questions?
When did you say the deadline was?
June 18th. And citizens and members can apply on the city's website. And it is a link on this agenda item. If you click that, it'll take you to the application. Online. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you. Thanks for coming. So this time we'll move on to item 21-0399, our director's report, and I'll turn it over to our great director, Michael Kowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. How nice. Can everybody see the first slide? Good? Okay, so the Senior Rec Center is open. Right now, we have members coming back. We just passed 950 memberships sold after a week and some change. That's an awesome, awesome accomplishment for our team. Great feedback so far. I gave a great presentation this morning to our Main Street board about downtown McKinney. You've seen Marty's plans for the landscaping around MPAC. This is another project we're working on, kiosks. Remember this whole digital kiosk program? This is a paper kiosk right now in downtown, and we are converting it to a digital board that's under design. We had a supply chain issue for a while to get the screens. They're finally in. We can start crafting these now. So that'll be another great addition to our park system. Or that very big maintain at least. Fish Park, this is the pickleball tennis court area with the trails. Good news, the storyboard concept that we had, the fixtures have been installed. So around the trail are these, in the bottom right hand corner is a, I'll call it a plaque. Each one of those will have one page of a storybook aimed at children, so kids can walk the trail with their parents, read one page, go to the next one, and so on and so forth. The library is providing the content. What's great about this is they can switch it out for the seasons, a story for Halloween, story for Christmas, bring people to the parks over and over again. Michael Dury has been our project manager in this one, coordinating the library, so nice job, Michael. Cottonwood Park. Has anybody seen it? Driven past it recently? It's a showstopper. It's unbelievable. As a reminder, it's on Highway 5 in El Dorado, behind the Newsom Homes. It was a traditional park, really left renovated decades ago, an underutilized baseball diamond, a play area, parking lot. That was it. Served its needs at the time. But we, of course, advanced our design aesthetics, and this is it today. So, play equipment's in. Our first fully covered basketball court pavilion. And just the level of detail and landscaping and so on. And the great feature here is that cement ribbon wall that kind of starts flat and comes up, that's seating for outdoor movies and things of that nature. Here's the best part. At night, it just glows and pops. So the wife and I were there just before 9 p.m. this past Saturday, and there's people there. They're playing in the playground, shooting baskets. Look at that great streetscape. So it's an awesome gateway into downtown McKinney and beyond. So I highly encourage you to check it out anytime. It really glows. It's fantastic. So Jenny and her team, excellent work. Recreation Center Town Lake, as you know, we put up new building signage. Phase two was building lighting and lighting in the area. So this was all pitch black before. We're uplighting the trees now, on trails, lighting the building in certain areas, the trees by next to the building, just to make it seen as you walk past it. Ms. April Butler's been working on that for us, so April, excellent job. And here's the next phase. We have some blank walls on the building. The left-hand picture is what you see from 75. Not a great impression of our rec center from the highway. The right-hand picture is the bottom half of the outdoor patio. Both are this concrete. We are going to the Arts Commission next week to suggest murals in those two locations. The trees on the left-hand side are at their last stage of life, probably. You come down, put a mural there, and then, of course, the one on the right-hand side could be something for Instagrammable moments, right? A spot people take a picture and so on. So we'll be coming back to this board with some feedback in that discussion. Irwin Park, we have $1 million set aside for Irwin. Jenny and her team, along with Marty, they have assessed all the features out there, and we're tearing down the bathrooms, putting new bathrooms in. You can see in the left-hand side the current bunker, and we're going with a kind of drop-in-place bathroom unit. Same thing around the pavilions, upgrade all of that. Some of these can be rehabbed and painted and fixed, so we'll do that. And here's a great example again, as I said, that would be next to the current parking lot. Right now the bathrooms are tucked way back in the woods, specifically in front and center. We're also going to explore any more parking up there. I would submit we'll never solve the parking up there. It's just too much activity, but we'll get more people off the grass all the better. So two new prefab restrooms, one with a shower. We have more bicycles out there, of course. Some refurbing and so on. Here's a big one, demarcating better the campsites where they are. It's kind of loose, right? So I spent about an hour out there Saturday night, right before closing, kind of getting a feel of the energy at the park. It's a great atmosphere. Every campsite was taken. People were family out camping. There were a couple of knuckleheads in pickup trucks, you know, surfing around a little too quick. But I saw police there. Police were in their cars going around, talking to people and so on. It's a great magnet for some good, wholesome fun in McKinney. We want to keep that going and make it a bit better. We had a guest resident last meeting for your talk, speaking about pump tracks and other things. This year, Jenny and her team, along with myself, we're going to visit with MCDC in this group to talk about funding a couple of these quick wins. So instead of always looking at the $3 to $5 million project, what about a couple of lock on your walls are maybe $100,000, maybe a pump track for $200,000, knock them out in 6 months, and pepper those around the park system. So we will have a more advanced federal presentation on this topic at our joint meeting with MCDC, hopefully next month. The unique letters. So the yellow ones are at Bonnie Week right now. We built another set. So this is the second set. They're white because these right now are at the Byron Nelson Tournament. These are inside the gates. The Byron Nelson Tournament in 18T would not allow yellow, and they would not trust us with their blue, AT&T blue, because only certain contractors are allowed to use that color. So we painted them white, and they look really good. I think we're going to put them in the parks and whatnot. So I had no part in this. It was Marty and his team. So Marty and his crew, these are metal, welded. They are substantial. So Marty, thank you for all the effort with this. Marty was at the tournament yesterday setting these up with the team. So it's all hands on deck, so appreciate that. I want to take a moment to talk about the Byron Lesson. So the library hosted a great program on the history of Byron Lesson overall, and I was asked to contribute something from our role. So this is a graphic I put together. I did research, and I found this. Great story. 1943, the North Texas Job Corps, right on Highway 5, just north of Lee, was called Ashburn General Hospital. It was a hospital for returning war vets, folks who were injured. And the doctors there said, we need something for these folks to do. We should build a golf course. So, as you know, Ocala Golf Course is next to the Job Corps, which was the hospital. Byron Nelson, Ben Hogan, Sam Snead, all the best golfers, started tournaments around Texas to raise money to build a golf course in the King. So in 1945, Byron Nelson started the Texas Victory Open. All the proceeds, $22,000, went to fund our King golf course, 9 holes at the time. Byron Nelson won that tournament. That tournament was later renamed the Byron Nelson Tournament. So the tournament he won, the first tournament, funded our McKinney golf course. So what a great story. It ties this whole thing together. What's also cool is on YouTube, they have the actual radio broadcast of the 1944 tournament that actually talks about McKinney, how this tournament is for McKinney and for the VA hospital. 1945, the Ashburn Golf Course opens up. Who hits the first golf ball? Byron Nelson. Who ran the exhibition? Byron Nelson. He won the long drive competition against Sam Snead. Byron hit 280 yards. I've seen golf clubs in that band. That's a good shot, 280 yards. He beat Sam Snead by just 5 yards. And this one had movie stars at the opening. It was a huge deal. So just want to make sure you guys see the history of that cool experience. So we're going to play that story more and more. 1998, our golf course was expanded to 18 holes, and the original 9 holes, the spirit of it is still there. So that's really cool. At the library, Byron Nelson's widow was there. The trophy was there as well. So really a great experience. And last but not least, I got a plug out hiring here. If you know neighbors, your kids, nieces, nephews, we need people. That's a story here across the nation. We're just short on staff. And it's twofold. We have people who may want to work, but maybe not as many hours as we need as well. And we're having trouble competing with the fast food restaurants who are upping their pay, especially those who give out tips. I understand. I learned today from my colleagues that who work at one of those restaurants and give tips. So if you know anybody at all, get this under the radar. Remind them this is not a job. This is a first step in their career. We offer great stuff. We are mentors, we're not bosses. Send them our way. Give us a chance. Mr. Chairman, with that concludes my director's report.
Thank you, Mike. So now we'll move on to our regular agenda items. So the first item will be item number 21-0400. Consider, discuss, act on the cost recovery model and financial management philosophy plan for the Parks and Recreation Department. And so we're going to have this over to Jamie, who will present this virtually. And team, please pay attention because this is something that we will be voting on.
Jamie, can you run the PowerPoint, okay?
Say that again, Mike.
Can you run the PowerPoint, okay? Are you able to advance the slides?
I can. Can you see my screen?
I can, yes.
Great. Well, I very much appreciate your time this evening. Certainly, as was mentioned, I'm here tonight to give you an overview of the Smart Approach to Cost Recovery process that we were privileged to have the opportunity to work alongside the City of McKinney, Park and Recreation Department, and the staff. And before I actually jump into content here, I want to just extend my appreciation to the city for their confidence in our process, our team, and recognize the staff, in particular with Teresa and Mike as co-leads and co-project managers representing the department. Really was a great opportunity to work with such a tremendous organization, and they've been incredibly responsive and professional throughout this process. So I just wanted to share that with all of you and extend my thanks for that. So I'm going to spend just about 10 minutes or so providing you a high-level overview of the process that we followed and touch on the deliverables, and I'll be passing it back to Mike for final comments, and I recognize that the board will be acting on this evening. So what you see on the screen very simply is a representative illustration graphic and summary of the process. Essentially, we start with the foundations here, which is our opportunity to share some information, context around the importance of cost recovery today in the park and recreation space, and really begin to dive deep into the methodology that we utilize, ensuring that staff really understand what the process is going to look like and feel like from their perspective. At the same time, we rely heavily on the organization to provide us with quite a bit of information and data. Obviously, this fires the engine of this process and provides us with the information we need to do the job necessary to provide them with quality deliverables. So really, there's a reciprocal exchange of information that sets the stage for the work. The three pillars that you see on the screen there represent the framework for the process that we facilitate. The first is the creation of service categories, and we work alongside the organization and a predetermined service category development team, which represents different areas of the organization, to create categories that really are representative of the entire service menu of McKinney Parks and Recreation. Service categories are a little different than kind of the traditional service areas that we think about in Parks and Recreation, like sports or parks or aquatics or seniors, what have you. And the principal reason we want to do that, and this is probably going to be a bit of a refresh for some of you who have met with us throughout the process, is that it allows us to really diminish social values and assumptions that can drive sometimes cost recovery decisions and really provide a bit of an influential component to the process that really is not necessarily in the best interest of the organization. So categorization diminishes social values. It really sets at bay assumptions that can sometimes be an error. We then work with not only the staff, but again, we have an opportunity to work with this body and go through the beneficiary service exercise. And this was our chance to create some connectivity between the services you provide or the service categories that you have with who benefits from those services, whether it's the common good of the greater McKinney area or it's the individual and a more individualized and specialized benefit. And finally, and behind the scenes, that really starts at the beginning of the process and continues almost to the end of the process, we do a very comprehensive cost of service analysis. We rely heavily on the organization to provide us the data, the revenues, the expenditures necessary to complete a comprehensive process that's one of integrity, and we feel like there's a high level of accuracy and confidence in the data. And what that allows the organization to do is see, essentially, the performance levels of each service within the system, cost recovery performance, as well as see how many taxpayer resources are being invested in each service. And ultimately, our end game here is to help the organization craft and create a tax investment and revenue enhancement philosophy, or AKA a cost recovery strategy, and then the supporting policies that are necessary to help support the implementation of the strategy itself. But I'd like to share with you two of the principal and key deliverables of this process. The first is a department-wide cost recovery strategy continuum. Again, with your help, we were able to rank the categories that were created to, again, represent the service menu of the organization on this continuum, from those in the bottom left aligning most with the common good. And when we say that, we mean essential services, those are accessible for all, those services that have universal value, community-wide interest, and far-reaching impact, to those categories in the top right of the continuum that align more with an individualized benefit, meaning they tend to be more discretionary, they serve a self-interest, there's limited impact, they tend to be more exclusive in nature, and there's limited access to some of these services. And ultimately, by ranking these categories on the continuum, we again align beneficiary of service with investment of subsidy resources and subsidy dollars. And what you see below each category are the cost recovery goals that have been established by your project team based upon the cost of service work, as well as some other guiding principles that we share to ensure that cost recovery goals are not set in an arbitrary way. You'll also notice below the cost recovery goals, we've actually included as well the subsidy goals. And essentially what we're saying here is, while they mean the same thing, the organization wanted to shine a light on the amount of taxpayer resource that was being invested in the kinds of services this organization provides. There was a second strategy continuum developed for the organization for those service lines and service areas in your organization that have been categorized as specialized business services, and this in large part means the Apex Center and Golf. And what we've done is applied the categories that apply to these two service areas within the organization, again, following the same progression on the previous model, but only incorporating those categories that are representative of the services provided through Golf and through the Apex Center. You'll also notice the cost recovery expectations are higher, essentially aligning with the fact that these services function and operate more like an enterprise or like enterprises than other parts of the organization. I want to share with you just a high-level overview of the type of data that really results from this kind of analysis, and this, of course, is specific to this organization, to McKinney Parks and Recreation. Again, this is a very high-level overview of the kind of data, the type of data that can result. I'm sharing with you one of the pages of the Insights report that we present to the organization. It really allows them a bit of a deep dive into the analysis to begin to see the cost recovery performance of the services within the organization, again, as well as the taxpayer investment that is being made in the services. And for the purposes of tonight, I've just singled out one of the categories, which is the rentals category here that you see. And on the top of this page, from left to right, you see the name of a category, the target cost recovery, which is essentially the midpoint of the range that the organization has established for this category moving forward, and the current cost recovery performance level. And what you see, there's some ambition here. Again, we want to align taxpayer resource investment with whether or not a service is more individualized or aligns more with the common good. And as you may recall seeing on the previous screens, rentals has been identified as a category that is more individualized in nature. Further to the right, in columns E, F, G, and H, you see the minimum cost recovery performance of any one service in this category, the maximum performance currently, the median, as well as the number of rentals provided by McKinney Parks and Recreation. And below that, you see a representative bar graph, which simply provides you a snapshot of the number of services within each category that are performing at any particular cost recovery performance level. So, for example, on the far left of the bar graph, we've got approximately 47 of the total 72 rentals provided that are performing between 0 and 25%. So if we take this a step further, we'll see now a little bit more of a granular look and a deeper dive into some of the services that live within the rentals category. And I'm just going to single out one that we actually talked about with the team this week. And I've just selected one of your rentals. This is in the athletics division, the service area that happens to be identified as Gabe Nesbitt. The activity group is Glory, and the activity itself is the youth softball tournament. And we're specifically talking about the amount of resource the organization invests in order to support the provision of this service. So you can see, if you continue far right, the facility, of course, identified are your ball fields. The current cost recovery performance for this particular rental is 9%. And what that translates to in terms of dollars and cents is the organization collects $3,000 in revenues, but is expending $34,000 in order to maintain these properties for the use of this particular group for the purposes of this activity. But again, this just gives you an idea of the kind of data, the type of data that results from this type of analysis, comprehensive analysis that includes both direct expenses as well as all indirect expenses associated with delivering services. And this will provide the staff, as they move forward, an opportunity to continue to build upon the analysis, the baseline that's been set for them. And obviously, the intention here is to begin to make informed decisions and take action upon what has been realized and learned. And one of the important things about this process, of course, is not only delivering this data and information to the organization, but it's encouraging them to turn these insights into action of some kind, implementation, if you will. One of the things, of course, that helps with this is policy that allows them some, if you will, support in the implementation and actions that they believe they need to take on behalf of the taxpayers. But I'm going to share with you just a few things that we consider to be helpful questions to ask and answer as they continue to navigate the information and the data, of course, that's been realized and they move forward. One of the first things that we suggest, because this can be incredibly ambitious, a lot of information is learned, these insights are quite robust, is to, you know, just begin somewhere, if you will. So one of the considerations that we always share right out of the gate is to focus initially on top performers and bottom performers and begin to think about what opportunities might exist. Bottom performers, as you can imagine, are those services that are really not performing very well at all. They can be consuming an enormous amount of resource, and if that's not justifiable, the organization has an opportunity to dissect that data and make some determinations as to whether or not those investments can be justified. Another thing is to look for anomalies. You know, there are certainly, through an exercise like this, when you're analyzing a significant amount of data, the opportunity and possibility, rather, that something might be off. We may have attributed some indirect expenses inappropriately or incorrectly, rather. So, the question on the floor is, does everything look accurate? Does it look like we've attributed our indirect expenses accordingly and appropriately? If a mistake is made, we just simply want to take corrective action to ensure that it is reflective of our reality. Another thing we can do is look for services that incur an excessive amount of cost or expense on behalf of the organization. Again, this is a bit of a checks and balance for us in this world, recognizing again that we have a responsibility to the taxpayers because we are investing and spending their resources. And asking ourselves, do these services deserve, if you will, can we justify the high level of expense and investment we're making on behalf of, again, the overall community? A fourth thing to consider is reviewing services that are not meeting their goals. This may seem obvious, but the question may come down to whether or not they should continue to be subsidized to the degree that they are, and if not, what changes might we wish to make? And one of those today is really about considering partnerships and collaborations where we all bring our collective resources to the table to best and most responsibly utilize those resources. So the intention here is that we best responsibly use the finite fiscal resources we have at our disposal. A fifth consideration is to look at the activities that may require an increase in fees in order to meet their goals and targets. There are certainly alternatives to increasing fees like generating more interest and so on, but in many cases it may come down to simply having to increase our fees in order to meet our targets. And keeping in mind, again, that in many cases, our cost recovery goals will not be at 100%. That does continue to mean that they will be subsidized with taxpayer resources. But if we do need to increase our fees, then we want to consider the pricing strategies we may wish to employ. And there are more than just cost recovery pricing strategies at our disposal. We may consider pricing based on market, competition, differential pricing, bundling pricing, and there are a series of pricing strategies that are available to us today in Parks and Recreation, many of which are employed. And these are included in the policy statement as well. And finally, another consideration, as I referenced earlier, is, well, you know, if we do choose to divest of certain services within our system, it provides us an opportunity to redirect, if you will, those investments towards services that may meet greater needs in our community. It might be investing in our infrastructure. It may be addressing inequities in our communities and so on. So this is a very high level review of the kinds of questions that can help staff and help organizations process all that's been learned through this particular project, and then of course consider how best to move forward so that the data just doesn't become the data. It becomes not only an analysis, but an opportunity to tell stories and actually take actionable steps in order to better utilize the resources the organization has at its disposal. So with that, I'm going to pass the mic back to Mike, and I put the continuum back up here for further conversation. Thank you.
Jamie, thank you so much. A great summary. I'm going to go over some of the high points for the group. What you're seeing on the screen now is the most important document. This is the document that this board and beyond should know about. This summarizes our approach, our philosophy, really, as they say, how you set your budget defines what's important to you. right? So open access community events is important to us for everybody. But as Jamie mentioned, as you go to more individualized services, such as selling a t-shirt or a bottle of water, the city should not be subsidizing those type of activities, right? So that's how this works. Some of the great data that Jamie showed was eye-opening to us, right? So we collect $3,000 to put on a tournament. Right? It costs us $34,000 in staff fee or staff efforts and materials. We are unpacking that number to make sure that's correct, of course, but there's a gap there. And as a city, we must decide, is that gap okay or not okay? And we've never asked those tough questions before amongst ourselves. So that is a journey that we will continue to go on over the years in partnership with this group. Tonight, Mr. Chairman, staff is requesting you vote for this board to bless the policy in front of you, which again is summarized in this continuum. There is some paper, white paper behind it that really speaks to some of the definitions of all of this. But again, this is the main document here that we're looking forward to bless. And before I forget, of course, this was a complete team effort. This involved people at all levels of our organization. We assessed 1,700 things that we do. So in year 2019, we offered 1,700 activities, programs, events, and so on. We assessed every single one of those. Teresa Thompson was our project lead on this, representing our department leadership team, keeping us on track. Her, in coordination with Jamie and the great team behind her, because there's a whole team who helped us with this, we are very proud of where we got to.